Tridanta Bhasana Vimoktam Ishet.
Tridanta Bhasana Vimoktam
Translation: the true activity of the sense organs, mind, sight, words, and all the knowledge gathered in working senses, is to engage fully in my service. Unless the senses are thus engaged, a living entity cannot think of getting out of the great entanglement of material existence, which is exactly like Yamaraja's stringent rope. Purport, as stated in Narada Pancharata, Sarva Padi Vivirmuktam, Taparat Vena Nirmalam, Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. This is the conclusion of Bhakti. All the time, Lord Rishabhadeva has been stressing devotional service, and now he has concluded by saying that all the senses should be engaged in the Lord's service. There are five senses by which we gather knowledge, the five senses by which we work. These ten senses in the mind should be fully engaged in the Lord's service. Without engaging in this way, one cannot ever touch yourself, Maya. Translation: the true activity of the sense organs, mind, sight, words, and all the knowledge gathering working senses, is to engage fully in my service. Unless the senses are thus engaged, a living entity cannot get out of the great entanglement of material existence, which is exactly like Yamaraja's stringent rope. So previously, Rishabhadeva has given instructions about becoming detached from the material world. And he also gave instructions on devotion. And of course, he glorified the Brahmins to which the king should be obedient. So he concludes his teaching here simply by saying that one must worship the Lord with one's senses and mind and voice, etc. Everything should be engaged in worshipping the Supreme Lord. And without that, it is impossible to get free from the entanglement of matter.
So we may want to become detached from the material world because we understand it as bondage. And we may practice karma yoga, jnana yoga, or sangha yoga. But actually, they will not succeed. That is mentioned here. One must serve the Lord. And this is the way in which we get free from the bondage of the material world. So Prabhupada in the purport has quoted a verse from Narada Pancharatra. Sarva Padi Vimamaktakta Paratmina Nirmalam. In which one engages, the idea here is to engage the senses in serving the master of the senses. Hrishikesha is the master of the senses. Hrishika are the senses. So one should serve the master of the senses. So it is natural that one serves a master. So the senses should serve their master. So we have senses, and we consider ourselves the master of those senses, but actually the master is the Supreme Lord. So instead of using the senses for ourselves, we have to utilize them for serving the Lord. So, of course, that is what is said here in this verse, that one should do activities for worshipping the Lord using mind, voice, sight, etc., and other senses. That is the direct statement. And, of course, in Narada Pancharatra it also says the same thing. Use all your senses to worship the Lord. So the mind is considered the internal sense. And then we have the five knowledge-gathering senses, like the eye, and the ear, and the nose, and the sense of touch. Right? And we have the action senses, like the voice. So Manavachandrik is all included within these senses. So this, of course, is qualified to some degree, just as we have the definition given by Rupa Goswami, Anukulyena Krishna Anusilanam, which is the same thing here as Hrishikena, Hrishikesha Sevanam, to serve the Supreme Lord by the senses. So we have Krishna Anusilanam, which is Anukulya. And that is qualified in the Narada Pancharatra by saying that it is Sarva Padi Vinirmukta Tatparatvena Nirmala. So Sarva Padi Vinirmukta means free from all upadis, or all misconceptions, or all coverings, all false conceptions. So that, of course, we can say is equivalent to anipamilashita shunya, to be devoid of all other desires. So not only one should serve the Lord, but one should serve the Lord free from material desires. We worship the Lord and we don't expect material benedictions from the Lord. So Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam is freed from all upadis, all extraneous desires other than the desire to serve the Lord. Of course, that verse also says that it should not be covered by jnana and karma, etc., other things as well. So they should not obstruct in any way the Supreme Lord in these other processes. If they're favorable, fine. So if they obstruct, they become upadi. They don't obstruct, then fine. They are acceptable. So those things which are favorable are accepted, those things unfavorable are rejected. And the verse says that the Rupa Goswami's verse says that there should be favorable engagement in the Lord's service. That is, without any feelings of opposition or animosity, etc. Acceptance of the Lord's position. So that also is here in this verse of Narada Pancharata, where it says Tatparatvena Nirmalam. One should accept the Supreme Lord and his position. So in this way, the two verses are more or less similar in the definition of Rupa Goswami and the definition in the Narada Pancharatra. In fact, Rupa Goswami quotes this verse to support his verse. So probably what he did was simply explain the Narada Pancharatra verse in another way and wrote his own verse. So Rishabhadev here is saying the same thing, that the only process is to engage oneself in the service of the Lord by using one's senses. Of course, senses are not mentioned in the verse of Rupa Goswami, but if we look in the definition of sadhana bhakti given by Rupa Goswami, there it says kriti sadhya, that which is attained by use of the senses, or kriti. So, utilizing the senses, one performs bhakti to attain bhava. That is the definition of sadhana. So, therefore, in the definition of sadhana bhakti, senses are mentioned. So here Rishabhadev has explained that one should use the mind, voice, and the eyes, etc. in worshipping the Supreme Lord. So a similar type of definition. The other point of this verse is that he does not mention other processes, that you have to do anything else. He simply says, worship me, worship the Supreme Lord. He doesn't say you have to do Karma Yoga, Gyan Yoga, or Sangha Yoga, or Anashram, anything. He simply says, you worship me. Without that, you cannot get freed from the bondage of the material world. The implication, of course, is that though Jnana and Yoga promise freedom from the bondage of the material world, if they don't have some bhakti, they cannot fulfill that promise. They cannot give freedom from bondage of the material world. So, therefore, in any case, whether one performs jnana or yoga, one still has to worship the Supreme Lord. If one fails to do so, then one cannot succeed in getting liberation. So in other words, the other processes are also dependent upon bhakti. And bhakti is not dependent upon other processes. So that is clearly stated in other places in the Bhagavatam as well. So by simply pointing out bhakti here, this is the implication. It is independent. It does not need any other process to deliver you from the clutches of the material world. Now, a point can be made here that, yes, the process of bhakti will get you out of the material world, but that is not the goal. So as in other places in the Bhagavatam, and even in Bhagavad Gita, often the goal is not completely stated. Instead, we get the part goal, liberation from the material world. But as we know, liberation is not the ultimate goal. And in fact, we have these verses like Brahma Bhuta Prasaratma. One becomes liberated in Brahma, but still, higher than that is bhakti. Madhvaktam Ulavate Param. Then when it comes to the process of bhakti. Liberation is not the end, actually. So though it states here that one is free from the material world, this is a statement in relation to the other processes. The other processes promise liberation, but without bhakti, they cannot give liberation. So only by the performance of bhakti, service to the Lord, one can get liberation. This does not mean this is the goal. It simply points out that the other processes are not independent, and that bhakti is necessary to give that result. Now we know that the goal of bhakti is not that at all. So the goal of sadhana bhakti is bhava. And when bhava becomes intense, it becomes prema. So, and what is that bhava and prema? That prema is, of course, non-different from bhakti itself. So the goal of bhakti is bhakti. The goal of bhakti is serving the Lord purely, that's all. So in the definition of bhakti, the first definition of bhakti from Rupa Goswami, he doesn't mention the goal there, he simply says, you serve the Lord favorably, that's all. Why? Because that is the sadhana and it is the goal. It serves both. It serves as the definition for sadhana bhakti and the definition for sadhya bhakti, or the goal, prema. It applies to both. So the only difference is that sadhana leads one to intensity in bhakti, which leads to a position of complete absorption in the Supreme Lord. But it's all bhakti. So, therefore, ultimately, the goal of bhakti is simply bhakti itself, nothing else. And that is called prema in its pure state. So automatically, liberation is attained by attaining that. So there's no extra endeavor for liberation. So in other words, by serving the Supreme Lord and engaging the senses in the Supreme Lord, one surpasses liberation. One attains liberation, definitely freedom from birth and death, but one actually surpasses that. So that is the ultimate conclusion. So if we want to become free from the material world, in any case, if we practice Astanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga, we still also have to practice a little bit of bhakti in that process as well. So those processes are not called bhakti, even though they have a little bit of bhakti in them, that is, they recognize the Supreme Lord. Because their intention is something else. Why? They use the process of bhakti to get liberation. So, it is also not exactly the same as Jnana Nistra Bhakti, in which there is a slight desire for liberation. In Jnana and Yoga, the prominent desire is liberation. So bhakti is secondary to that, and supports that only. So just as we can do aspects of jnana or karma which are not unfavorable or favorable for bhakti, that is, jnana, karma, and avrata, those things which do not obstruct bhakti can be done. So similarly, and they're not the main item there, bhakti is the main item. So in jnana and yoga, they do the bhakti also, and not unfavorable to their goal, it supports their goal. So, therefore, it's secondary to their main sadhana of jnana or yoga. And therefore, we don't call that process bhakti yoga. And similarly for karma yoga. There must be worship of the Supreme Lord in karma yoga to go to Svarga Loka or whatever. But we don't call that bhakti yoga directly, because it is a minor factor to support their elevation to higher planets or whatever. So, in this way, we have to clearly understand the meaning of the statement. It does not mean that the ultimate goal of serving the Lord is simply liberation from the material world. That is a secondary factor.
Having faith in something else other than the Supreme Lord and serving that particular thing called as bhakti. Why cannot having some faith in something other than the Supreme Lord?
You can call bhakti for Shiva, bhakti for Ganesh, bhakti for husband or wife. The material world is the prema. Prema for your movie star or whatever. You can do that, but that's not the definition of Jiva, that's all. The process of bhakti purifies one to the level of the question is, what is the mechanism of this purification? This purification were simultaneously or just senses which are in direct contact with matter get purified first, or does the mind internal get purified and take the senses? Well, the process of sadhana is described as engagement of the senses to attain bhava. Now, the senses are material, the mind is material. Unfortunately, we don't have any other choice at this point. What do we use as sadhana? If one is in prema and one's developed a spiritual body, yes, there is a choice. We use our spiritual body to engage in our service. We don't have a spiritual body now. It has to develop. So we have no choice but to engage the material senses and the mind for the Lord. How can we get a spiritual result for that? The only reason is that if the jiva has developed faith and that turns into bhakti, then by engaging those senses, they become spiritualized. They don't have a material effect anymore. If we don't have that faith and bhakti behind it, that is Krishna Anusilanam, which is actual favorable inclination of the Atma, then the action is not called bhakti and the effect is not the same. So the jiva has to have favorable inclination towards the Lord, and then he engages his senses. They are spiritualized, they don't have a material effect. Rather, by engaging those senses in the service of the Lord, the jiva develops more bhakti. So in that process of developing bhakti, the spiritual body develops. So in bhava stage, we get senses to see the Lord. And in prema, then the body is fully developed and we serve the Lord in that body. Then we don't need the material senses anymore. So that is the actual process. So we purify the senses, or spiritualize the senses in the process of bhakti itself. Okay? Ultimately, of course, the body is material. So it is left behind. And one leaves the body and simply has a spiritual body and goes to the spiritual world.
You were mentioning that we should not approach Krishna for any other desire, otherwise it makes sense. Sometimes we see that the devotees with whom we are working or we are closely in touch with, maybe our wives are close by devotees, for whom we feel a little bit more affection because they are close to us, we see them struggling with certain set of desires. Maybe they don't have children or they may, which is holding them from progressing in spiritual life, because in some corner of their heart they have that type of desire. So should we pray for them that desire gets fulfilled and they get the motivation to move forward in devotional life? Is that the right kind of approach from anybody who is looking after those type of devotees?
It may depend on certain circumstances whether that fulfillment of desire will be favorable for their bhakti or unfavorable. In some cases it may be favorable, in some cases it may be unfavorable. So that's of course debatable. So like the Lord, for instance, may take everything away from a person. Not the same thing, may give everything to a person depending on situation. So he gave whole kingdom to Dhruva. At the same time, he may take everything away, so he took everything away from the Avanti Brahmana. So it depends on the particular situation, what is favorable for the individual, what is better for them.
And how did we judge that?
It may be difficult to leave it up to the Lord instead.
Devotional. వద్దు కాదు కదా, దీంట్లో కూడా రాసింది ఏ పాయింట్లో వచ్చి మనకు వచ్చి మనతో సెంటే మైండ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఇవన్నీ స్పిరిచువలైజ్ చేసి ఎట్లా మన పాయింట్ బై పాయింట్ స్పిరిచువలైజ్ చేసి లాస్ట్ మూమెంట్ క్లాస్లో వచ్చి ఉంటారు దాన్ని రాసింది దాని ఫ్రెండ్స్ని స్పిరిచువలైజ్ చేస్తాం లేదా ఈ బస్సు ప్రాసెస్ ఒక స్టేట్లో స్పిరిచువలైజ్ చేసి ఒక పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ పర్ఫెక్షన్ వస్తాయి పర్ఫెక్షన్ వస్తుంది అంతే అది చెప్తారు అదే మాతాజీ నాట్ వే అంటే స్పిరిచువలైజ్ దిస్ బాడీ అదే భక్తి ప్రాసెస్ అదే భక్తి ప్రాసెస్ అంటే అదే 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 ఫుల్గా రాసింది అనుకుంటాను నేను కౌంటర్ మీకు పంపిస్తాను అట్ విచ్ పాయింట్ దిస్ ఇస్ మెటల్ బాడీ అండ్ సెన్సెస్ ఆర్ స్పిరిచువలైజ్ స్పెషలైజ్ మెటీరియల్ సెన్సెస్ మెటీరియల్ బాడీ ఎట్లా స్పెషలైజ్ అవుతుంది ఎట్లా కన్వర్జన్ అవుతాయి ఏ పాయింట్లో కన్వర్జన్ అవుతాయి ఇట్లా మన అంతా క్వశ్చన్ ఆన్సర్స్ చేసి దాంట్లో మారా ఏదైతే ఆన్సర్స్ 2 ఇయర్స్లో ఏదైతే ఆన్సర్స్ ఉంటాను రాసింది ఇఫ్ యూ గో త్రూ దట్ ఇప్పుడు మన కన్ఫ్యూజన్ కదా అలా క్లియర్గా ఉంటుంది మారాతో ఆన్సర్స్ ఈ క్లాస్ నుంచి ఈ ఆన్సర్ ఇచ్చింటారు ఈ క్లాస్ నుంచి ఈ ఆన్సర్ ఇచ్చింటారు ఎట్లా రాసింది సో దట్ మనకి ఈజీగా ఉంటుంది సో ఇప్పుడు అదే ఇప్పుడు వెరైటీస్ ఉంటాయని మీరు చెప్పినారు కదా వెరైటీస్ ఉంటాయి కానీ అది కూడా ఆ వెరైటీస్ కూడా